This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 178. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Wall-to-wall Justice League splash pages, Zeus is Hippolyta's baby daddy, action aplenty for the Birds and Nightwing, goofy crossovers, and a report on Mid-OhioCon. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, October 23rd, 2011. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. And you can subscribe via iTunes, where you should please leave us a review.
And you can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. And let's get right into it with Justice League number 2 by Johns and Lee. Now, we have a total page count in terms of actual editorial material of 22 pages. We have a splash page count of 2 and a double splash page count of 3, which means 8 out of the 22 pages are splash pages, which is kind of why we're getting very little actual storyline.
Yeah, not much can happen in when a panel takes up an entire page.
In many cases, there's not even any dialogue on that page. Well, so we have the comic book cliche, when two heroes meet for the first time, they have to fight. Hal finally finds someone who can actually beat him, and that's, of course, Superman. So Hal calls Barry for help. And it is great to know that Barry and Hal are friends in the new DCU.
So maybe that can be their couple name, Harry.
Harry.
I'm sorry.
So Batman manages to talk them all down from fighting. And we get to see a little bit of Cyborg's origin, his new origin. So, Jeff, Jim, get on with it.
We're 2 issues in, and we still haven't seen Wonder Woman.
Well, she's promised the next issue.
Yeah.
There is a 4-page text story as an intro to Wonder Woman coming in, but... okay, that could have been 4 pages you actually could have introduced her.
Right.
Period.
I was going to ask if that was something that was actually for this book, or is that...
presumably it was just for this book.
Okay.
Well, it says Geoff Johns wrote that piece. So.
Okay.
So, speaking of Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman number 2 by Azzarello and Chang. And Diana takes Zola to Paradise Island. We learn that Hippolyta is a blonde again.
Oh, so she was in the past?
A long time ago, back in the Silver Age, she was a blonde.
Hmm.
But she's been a brunette pretty much through the 80s and 90s and through to today, until now. We also get a slightly changed origin for Wonder Woman.
Well, sort of, because generally... the story that was first told was the same story we always heard.
Right.
That, you know, she was formed from clay and baby appeared overnight, blah, 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 blah.
But in that version that we've heard all these years, the various gods show up and bestow powers upon this golem
for
lack of a better
term.
For
all intents and
purposes, yes. Yes. In this new one... Hippolyta, she creates this baby out of clay. She falls asleep. When she wakes up, there's Diana. And we learned a little later in the issue it's at least highly inferred.
Strife, who is she a new character?
Pretty much, yeah.
Says that Zeus is Diana's father.
Right.
That they're half-sisters or
right.
something like that. But... we don't know for a fact.
Yeah, I suppose we don't.
Based on his story,
right.
We don't.
Right.
And again, would he really be considered? I mean, if all he did was put a living essence, so to speak, into this baby, that doesn't hardly count the same way.
Well, I was taking it more from the standpoint of Hippolyta falls asleep and then something
and
happens.
Impregnated?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I wasn't sure if that's what they were implying or not.
Well, in any case, I'm not a fan of this idea. I'm hoping that your theory is correct and that it's really not going that way. While the artwork in this is really great, I really don't care all that much about the overall story. Again, it doesn't seem to be going very far. Not a huge amount happens when one of the two major plot beats is Hippolyta is a blonde.
Yeah.
That's wow. So let's talk about some titles where there is more happening, starting with Birds of Prey number 2 by Swierczynski and Seiss. And the action in here just keeps on coming. We meet Kitana, who in the new DCU appears to be possibly mentally unstable.
She thinks her dead husband is in her sword and talks to him.
Right.
Now, was there any of this in her previous story?
I thought there was a little bit of it, but it wasn't nearly going this far. The
right.
idea that the soul of her husband is in the sword.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a slightly different concept here. And then Poison Ivy arrives. She's dressed in fall colors. So.
Right. I almost didn't realize who she was because she was in fall.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, I really like the Starling character. This is a new character we've not seen before. And she definitely seems to be this just a wild card. You know, she's a good guy, but at the same time, it's like, hey, let's do this. Hey.
Well, they're supposedly all good guys, but they seemingly don't have any qualms about killing people.
Right.
At all.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Even Canary doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, but again, a good storyline here going on. I feel like they're making progress. They're setting things up. Now Poison Ivy's in there. We've heard that I believe in issue 5 or 6, Batgirl's going to show up. And that may be a major change in the title, but we'll see.
Well, I think that the idea of Birds of Prey is really more apt to this kind of concept, where they're actually, they're fiercer, I think, in mm-hmm. this one than they were in the old Birds of mm-hmm. Prey.
Nightwing number 2 by Higgins and Barrows. And it's another round with the assassin. And the mystery circus girl, Raya, shows up as the damsel in distress. She needs to get out of town. Dick grabs a Wayne Industries jet and just heads out of town with her.
So this brings up another question in the continuity that I have.
Yeah.
She talks about him taking his boss's plane, right?
Yeah.
So did Bruce not adopt them in this continuity?
That's a good question. We don't know at this point.
Because otherwise, you know, you would say, oh, your dad's plane or something.
Based on what we've seen so far, everything that happened in the previous Batman continuity seems to have pretty much come over to this one. This is one of the two areas, this and Green Lantern, where they didn't change hardly anything.
Right.
But you're right. Why wouldn't it be his dad and not his boss?
I guess why would she be so surprised that he could get a plane if he was the adopted son of Bruce Wayne?
Yeah. So he meets old man Haley in New Jersey, and he's dying of cancer.
Haley of Haley Circus.
And he has figured out who Dick actually is, as old people always do in the DCU.
Old people who are on the verge of dying?
Yes. And that pretty much signs your death warrant when you announce, yeah, I figured out who you are. So he hands Dick the deed to the circus, says, you're taking it over. Dick leaves. This assassin comes in just after Dick leaves. He learns also that Dick is Nightwing, and then he kills Haley.
Well, he kind of tortures Haley
right.
to get that information.
Right. And Haley's dying breath says, well, the big secret about the circus is,
and dies.
And dies. So a lot of action going on here as well. A decent storyline. I'm now much more interested in the idea of bringing the circus back in.
Because
now,
it's not just the circus.
Right.
There's something else
going
on.
There's something else, exactly.
But I wonder if by giving Dick the circus. This guy really thought he was going to get Dick back into the circus life. I don't know.
No, I think he just figured he needed somebody to take over the reins. So let's go on to the winner of Goofiest Crossover this year, Star Trek / Legion of Superheroes number 1 from IDW and DC.
Why would you even pick these two things to cross over?
This is clearly just random generator of IDW like, characters and DC characters. There you go.
It's like, all right, let's just put everybody we have the rights to in a hat and we'll draw two out and cross over.
Oh, come on. It could have been Lobo G.I. Joe. Come on.
Yeah. And that's coming next week.
So we begin on the Star Trek Mirror Universe. It's, of course, from the classic Mirror episode from the original series. It's been brought in several different incarnations of Trek. It's actually been much more expanded in the books. But in this case, there's DC elements in the Mirror Universe. There's Tommy Tomorrow. There's the Space Rangers. And there's apparently Kaluans involved. So these DC elements kind of jammed into the Mirror Universe from Star Trek. And then at one point, we switch back to this ancient past and a mystery man with red eyes. And we don't know who that is. But somehow, he was back in the past, and he either sees something or does something back in the past. We now switch over to the Legion of Superheroes in a time bubble. And they're coming back from a mission having to do with Darkseid. They get kicked out of the time stream. They have to basically abandon the time stream because of this eddy where
their time bubble gets stuck and it starts cracking.
Right. And they end up in the 31st century Star Trek Mirror Universe. When in this case, the Empire has now been overthrown, possibly starting by Spock. We don't know. But it's been pretty much established in the various continuities that Kirk is talking to Mirror Spock in the goatee, and he convinces him to start a revolution, and in fact, that happened. We switch again to Kirk and company on the Enterprise in the regular universe. They're beaming away on a mission, and they end up in the 23rd century Star Trek Mirror Universe, where the Empire is very much still in operation.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Right, because they're at two different points. Kirk and company, when they get there, everything is buildings and the banners are all in place.
Ah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we know that the LSH are in a later time period because these rebels come in and say, well, we got rid of the Dominion, we're going to get rid of you, and everything's torn apart, and the buildings are falling apart, and the banners are screwed up. So we'll see where this goes.
I tell you, I was much more interested in the little preview that was in the back that was like memories or something.
Mm-hmm.
Memorial. That was kind of interesting.
Well, maybe we'll pick that up. All right. We wanted to talk about Mid-OhioCon. We just got back from that just a little while ago. This is a small regional comic book show going back probably 30 years. I remember going to their show in the late 80s. You had to go to the county fairgrounds in Mansfield, Ohio, where a barely heated building
I think that
in the middle
I
of the winter.
May have gone there once with you. Like,
possible.
Maybe they had the last one there in the early 90s or something.
Yeah, it was right around there. A few years later, they moved it down to Columbus. It's moved around to various places in the Columbus area. But this year, it was taken over or bought out by Wizard World. Now, Wizard World has decided they're going to create these regional conventions. It sounds like they're doing pretty much what they did here, where they buy out an existing convention, possibly.
And it's a lot like Creation Con was back in the 80s with Star Trek conventions. And, you know, it's pretty much the same convention then wherever you go.
It's just a different town. And in that case, it was, well, which cast member from Next Gen is going to be there?
Right.
Other than that, it was same dealers, same layout, same events. So we haven't seen enough of Wizard World to know if it's going to go that way for this, but it seems to be leaning in that direction. There was more emphasis on D-list celebrities. The big draw was Adam West and Burt Ward. And from what I read, if you wanted to get both their autographs, it only cost you $125.
And I just don't understand.
We had Billy Dee Williams and Gil Gerard from Buck Rogers and several other genre has-been celebrities.
Well, James Marsters isn't has-been.
I suppose.
But he is a genre.
Right. At least we didn't have guys from, like, you know, wrestlers.
Yes. The wrestlers or the ladies of wrestling. Yeah. Or
as you see at a lot of these shows now, you get multiple shops that are selling bootleg DVDs, which I don't mind it too much when it's something that is not available on DVD.
But there was stuff in there that it looked like they had just copied what they bought at Best Buy.
And just copied the cover art and just slapped it on it.
And they weren't that much less expensive
than just going to Best Buy.
Than going to Best Buy and buying a legal copy.
Yeah. And, of course, you've got action figures. There was a couple areas where they were pushing Legos and Lego-like.
And the little Lego figures
right.
from the various genre products. Yeah. Doctor Who and Star Wars.
Right. And, of course, one of the mainstays now is you got to go to the corset shop.
I think these corset shops were a little bit more extensive in other things also. They weren't only corsets like a lot
right.
of the places that we saw at Chicago were.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still strapping them in.
Yeah. And one thing that we'd not seen before, at least I don't remember seeing before, there was a shop that was selling these custom contact lenses to change your eye color or give you cat eyes or...
Or flowers
right.
or... Oh, they were weird.
Yeah. But at least this is still a comic book show.
Yes.
There were a decent number of dealers, I thought.
Yes,
there were
quite a few boxes.
Mm-hmm. There were two supply shops selling things, bangs and boards, that type of thing. There was a very good artist alley. There were probably 20, 30 or so artists there, something like that.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did get to see a couple people that we've seen regularly at shows. Dirk Manning, who does Nightmare World that I really like.
Right.
And another one of Mark's favorites is Short Pact, which is a web
comic.
Yeah,
it's a web comic.
And then he collects them in books.
Right. So I picked up the trade for that. I picked up a Golden Age Archive, DC Archive volume. Got these two very interesting prints from, I believe his name is Jay Fawcett. One was Watch Moose.
Yeah, that was so cute.
It's
it was like the Bullwinkle characters.
As Watchmen.
As Watchmen. Oh, very funny. And then he picked up a kind of character sketch of the Serenity crew
mm-hmm.
for
exactly.
me.
Yes. And then finally, Mindy picked up a set of Star Trek Enterprise salt and pepper shakers.
These were the cutest things. A little salt Enterprise and pepper shuttle. And then they stuck together with a magnet.
So. Mm-hmm.
Very cute. Now we need to get a Serenity one.
Yeah. So it's certainly a bigger show than it used to be before Wizard World took it over.
Yeah.
A bigger show. But again, the type of show you can pretty much blow through in a couple hours, unless you really are just going to pour through comic book boxes.
Well, yeah, and they could really do with a little bit more or better programming. If I had paid full price to get in and didn't go to any of the programming because there wasn't really much of interest today,
right.
I would have been a little peeved, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they could have certainly done better on that.
But we did get discount tickets.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay. Go.
TV related?
Yes.
One person on the cover?
No.
Two?
No.
Three?
Yes.
Three people, they're all from one show?
Yes.
Is it a show that hasn't started yet?
No.
So it's a show already on? Is it
yes.
A new, is it a new show?
Yes.
New show from this season?
Yes.
Is it a comedy?
No.
Is it a drama?
No.
It's not a reality show?
No.
But it, so it's a script.
Well, I would say it's more drama than comedy.
Okay.
If you're going to go with only two genres.
Is it genre related?
I would say so.
Genre related, new show. Is it on ABC?
No.
CBS?
No.
NBC?
No.
Fox?
No.
CW?
No.
Cable?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Cable, genre related, new show. Genre related. Did Boardwalk Empire?
No, it's not.
Trying to think of new shows.
Well, Boardwalk Empire wouldn't be a new show.
Relatively new.
This is new this season.
Right. But I'm blanking on new genre shows.
I will
and
give
cable.
You the network. It is on FX.
On FX.
That didn't help you at all.
No, it
did
didn't. I'm trying to think of a new genre show. Okay, well, let's go genres. Is it horror related?
Yes, indeed. It is very horror related.
So it's that American Horror Story?
It is. So can you name one of the people?
Nope.
Not at all?
I have no clues on that show.
Oh.
I pretty much was like, okay, not really interested in a horror show.
Okay. It's Connie Britton.
Uh-huh.
And she was on that football show,
Friday,
wasn't
Friday
she?
Friday Night Lights, yeah.
Dylan McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
And then Riley Schmidt is the other person on the cover.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't really have any interest in watching
right.
it.
Right. So. Yeah. Just a reminder to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including Mindy's Comic-A-Day blog. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.